Go to audioboom.com and follow Radio Gorgeous.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Tina.
Hi. Excellent. Happy to be here.
We are here. It is April 23rd. It is pub day.
Yes. I haven't been to the pub yet.
Yeah, exactly. That comes later.
Yeah.
But it's publication day for you. Your second.
That's right.
I imagine the excitement hasn't dimmed.
No, it's kind of a very strange experience because this is my third publication day in a way, because there was the first one in April 2013, which was One Step Too Far, when I published it myself through my own publishing company. Then last April was Penguin publishing One Step Too Far, and then this is the third time, When We Were Friends, and I can't quite believe it. I kind of go, where has that time gone? How has this happened?
So quickly.
Yeah.
Tell me about that first book and how you started writing it.
Okay, I started writing it pretty much because I got sacked from a job, is where it really started. Not quite sacked, it's maybe I left a job, a freelance contract, and it was so stressful. I thought I need to take some time out, and I did yoga and all sorts of different things, writing, acting, and the writing class I loved. And then I went on holiday to Venice, got the idea for the book, just started writing it. At the same time, my mum was getting unwell, so I was writing it kind of to send to her to read. And so I ended up writing the first draft within a couple of months, and literally finished it just before she died. So it was a very kind of bittersweet time, but it was strangely cathartic to actually write that book. And I then spent 2.5 years trying to get it published, and I couldn't get a literary agent, let alone a publisher. So by the end of, I think it was, December 2012, I just went, right, that's it, I'm going to do it myself. And so I did, and, you know, sold 100,000 ebooks, 10,000 paperbacks, and it became really, really successful. And then suddenly foreign publishers were coming, and then I became overwhelmed and didn't know what to do. So I got an agent, ended up selling it internationally, and then was lucky enough to get a 3-book deal with Penguin here in the UK. So it's been a real kind of roller coaster ride, really. Mm. So as I say, I sometimes feel like, wow, how has this all happened? Because I never imagined myself as an author. So,
and also with the sort of mourning in the same process, same time.
Well, interestingly, it took me 4 years to mourn my mum. I didn't properly get over it until, you never get over it, but I didn't properly mourn her until last summer, which I think was the first time I had some space to do it. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's been a very, very strange process.
That's good. I mean, it's been transformative to your life.
Yes.
You know, you are now motherless. And you are now an author.
Yes.
I remember when my mother was dying, we were writing a short story together.
Right.
And that being a very intensely, a wonderful way to share.
Exactly.
And be in the moment without. And there's an urgency there without you having to say, come on, let's do this before you die.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that whole feeling of, I've got to just get this down, I've got to write this, I've got to do it for her, that, and the same with your mum, that it's just, it's quite wonderful. You know, it's, to me, I feel like, you know, to have that time with her, kind of knowing that she was dying, and therefore you're much nicer to each other, that helps as well. You know, but that's a real kind of gift, I think, and I just, I'm grateful for it.
Did that also, the sense of urgency, did that help propel you over the fear, sort of writing, and over the self-consciousness?
Well, I think the self-consciousness was taken away by my writing class, because it was a Thursday afternoon in my local park, but we'd go in, the teacher would say, right, you've got to write for 5 minutes on the word grey, or on the word water, or any random word, and you would just be forced to write. And then she'd do 20-minute exercises, you know, describe these trees, or, you know, real kind of random stuff. But it just got me into the process of just getting it down. And that's what I say, you know, when people ask me, what advice would you give to writers? I always say, just write it, get the story out, you know, build the house, worry about moving the furniture later. So, you know, so for me, I think the writing class gave me that. It gave me the technique, sort of how to access that different part of your brain you need to write fiction. And it also just gave me the confidence just to do it. And because I wasn't writing a novel for publication, I was writing a story for my mum, I didn't have that self-consciousness that possibly I would have done. So, you know, I always think it's kind of life is a bit fateful, if that's a word, fatalistic.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
Was it sort of a testament to your mom, the sort of drive to get it published?
No, not really. Mm. Actually, if the truth be told, it was...
We like the truth.
Yeah, the truth was I needed money. I couldn't afford... I'd stopped working a couple of years before that. You know, I took some time out after a few months after my mum died, just because I always took time between contracts. And then I just sort of never got round to going back to work. And then it was like, yeah. And it was like, oh, God, we cannot afford for me not to work anymore. And so it was
that
either...
That time has to have been paid for.
Yeah. So it was either getting another job in kind of marketing contracting, or it was giving the book a go. And so me and my husband, you know, came to a sort of discussion on the fact that I was going to invest some money in it, because I think if you're going to do it properly, you need to actually spend some money to do it. And so, you know, we did that, and then, you know, it did really well, fortunately.
And did your marketing experience come in handy then?
Well, I guess so. I mean, you know, my sales experience, you know, I sold encyclopedias door to door in America, so sales
comes
really
into,
yes
comes into when we were friends,
yes, yes. So all of that is true. Well,
that
not all of it, yeah, like the actual process of how I was trained to sell books was absolutely true in that book. It's horrific. Some of the other things that happened to the character are not true, but you know, I like to base my story is on kind of the truth. So in my first novel, One Step Too Far, you know, she met her boyfriend parachuting. I met my boyfriend parachuting, you know, so not my now husband, but, you know, an earlier boyfriend. So I always like to root my stories in the truth, but then I can go off from there into kind of, you know, fictional areas.
Well, without the urgency of your mother's death and doing it, you know, sort of for her. Was writing your second book different?
It was very different because One Step Too Far, I knew the end. You know, I had the idea for the twist. There's a twist in it, for those that don't know, that, you know, to my knowledge, very few people ever guess. And so I kind of always knew where I was leading to. I knew what the end of the book was. Whereas with When We Were Friends, I had the general idea of, hey, there's this story about six women who were great friends from university and they're now in their mid-40s and they pretty much don't like each other anymore, but they still all keep meeting for an annual reunion. And for readers, for listeners who don't know what happens, basically they meet this particular year on the banks of the Serpentine Lake in Hyde Park. Six of them turn up, five of them leave, and you kind of don't really find out what happened until pretty much the last page. So with that book, funnily enough, the original idea for it was, and it sounds a bit pretentious, but it was a moral fable. But I wanted to write about the moralistic aspect of modern life and what people will do or won't do. And anyway, so I wrote it, and so I wrote it fairly kind of, you found out what happened, you then found out what the what the subsequent kind of things that happened after it, the consequences were. And I gave it to a couple of my really good friends who'd loved One Step Too Far, and they came back and went, well, you told me what was going to happen, then you told me what happened, and then you told me why it happened, and it's really boring. And I was like, oh. And they said, we were expecting a twist or a mystery. Mm. And I was like, yeah, but this one isn't a mystery. This is a moral fable. Mm. And my friend said, I don't care what it is, but I was expecting a twist, and I was left very disappointed. And so what I did was I actually then went back to the book and basically just took out some of the information and withheld it. Yeah. And then I kind of restructured it, and I tend to edit, and I write incredibly fast. So I wrote, again, you know, like One Step Too Far, I wrote in a couple of months. That one I wrote in a couple of months as well.
Wow.
A year later. But then I spend ages and ages and ages editing it, because I'm always refiguring it and refiguring it and refiguring it and getting feedback. So yeah, so it ended up becoming another psychological thriller or contemporary mystery, you know, like One Step Too Far.
However, there is that moral component, because there's they're in a situation like, I mean, you or I.
Yeah.
You know, what is your social responsibility? What's your responsibility to spouses, to friends, to children? To, where do you need to step in?
Exactly, and that's what interests me, because I do feel very strongly that life and modern life, people are, and you know, not everybody, but there's this sort of compunction to always be moving forward, to be doing things for you, for your own, you know, means, your own ends, your family's ends. And sometimes I think, what about just thinking about just being a bit more giving? And so when you get a situation where there are a bunch of friends who are not being giving at all, and in fact behave, again without any spoilers, in a really quite extraordinarily selfish way, how does that leave them? You know, how does that sit with them afterwards? And I found that very interesting, as well as all the other dynamics of all these individual friends. You know, one's a widow, one's kind of trapped in a very unhappy marriage with a boorish husband. You know, one is mourning the friendships because of the strength that the friendships gave her in the past. You know, one's kind of very damaged from things that have happened to her in America. You know, so there's all sorts of things that are going on within that, that then it's sort of layer upon layer is what I tried to achieve. So you're kind of getting to the kind of nub of what's going on as you read it, but without losing you. And that was the challenge. You know, there's six characters, there's about three husbands, you know, someone in the bushes, there's a load of stuff to follow. But I think the device I used of kind of rooting each chapter in a location helped. Whereas with, you know, One Step Too Far, I did it in a different way.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Okay, so now tell me about what you're working on now. What's your the working title, The One?
Well, The One I finished last week.
Wow.
While on holiday. The first draft. I wrote the end, which I'd been putting off writing. I've now got to continue re-editing it. I've got to give it to my editor at Penguin in 2 weeks' time, as she reminded me just now. So, and I'm really excited about it. It's a story of four childhood friends, and the blurb currently, and you know, my editor at Penguin doesn't really know this yet, is Ruby loves Carl, Carl likes Susan, Susan marries Jeffrey, but who ends up being the one?
Aha!
So it's a kind of like another psychological thriller, but in the space of who ends up with who. So it's kind of a bit of a love story.
Right. And, you know, love mystery.
It's a love mystery, exactly. But again, with lots of contemporary themes and some darker, some not so dark, all married in together. So, you know, the tone is quite similar to the first two, but the subject matter is, how are these people going to kind of, and they're all lovely people, and, you know, how are they going to make it all work? And that's what I'm trying to achieve. And I want, you know, in When We Were Friends, the characters are not necessarily sympathetic. They're interesting, but if I get the one right, it will be these four people that you really want to get their happy endings, but can they all get their happy endings?
Aha, competitive happy ending.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Excellent. Tina, thank you so much for coming on Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our chat.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com and beautifully edited by Ella Gray Thomas, 2015.